Hello, friends. It's good to come to you here today. It's a fall afternoon up here in Conifer, Colorado. There's a snap in the air, but the sun is out. I'm on the front deck with the last of our summer flowers. Maybe you have the same thing. You're enjoying the last of your summer flowers. The scripture passage today comes to us from Matthew's Gospel, the 14th chapter, verse 13. One sentence from this verse. Listen to the sentence as it comes to us today. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Again, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Now, what is going on in that passage? Well, I'm going to unpack it in just a few minutes, but let me back up. Let me talk about the sermon series that Jill and I are doing. You know, we wanted to do a sermon series that talked about the great things that are going on in our world right now, the great things that are happening at Columbine United Church. You know, we kind of feel as though that God in the cosmos has said, ollie, ollie, oxen, free, free, free. Now, hopefully you know what that is from. That's when we were kids playing hide-and-go-seek, and the seeker, when they got tired of seeking for people and couldn't find them, they would yell out, ollie, ollie, oxen, free, 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 and everybody who'd been hiding would come out of hiding, and they would go back to home base. Well, you know, I don't know where that came from. It just, we always said it as kids. Well, I kind of feel like God in the cosmos is saying the same thing to us. Ollie, ollie, oxen, free, 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 come out of your hiding. I want to say that to you at Columbine United Church. Come out of your hiding. We're doing great things. Great things are happening. You know, we're at the Audubon Center worshiping together. We got a big thing happening on October 10th at Clement Park. Wonderful things are happening at Columbine. You need to come out of your hiding and join us. Same with the rest of the world. The economy is slowly opening back up. People are re-engaging their life. We want to do a sermon series to kind of would grab a hold of that. But we also knew that if we were going to talk about the positive things that were happening in the future, we had to sit for a few moments, at least one Sunday, and talk about what we've lost. There's been a lot of grief the past 2 years, and we need to take seriously the fact that not everything is rosy, not everything is bright and beautiful. There has been some tremendous amount of loss and grief that we need to deal with. I mean, think about this. I read last week that 1 in 500 Americans have died because of the COVID virus. 1 in 500. That means at Columbine, at least 2 people have died because of the virus. I know one person has died because of the virus. Maybe you know the other person. We know of countless people who have come down with the virus. Maybe you or family members come down with the virus, but it literally has affected all of us. There's a lot of grief. There's a lot of loss. Well, what do we do with this grief? What do we do with this loss, especially as we think about putting our lives back together? Well, every time I think about grief and loss and putting our lives back together, I think about this passage of Jesus rowing his boat out into the middle of the lake to be privately alone by himself. Why did he do this? Well, he did this because he had just heard that his cousin, John the Baptist, had been beheaded. Now, John and Jesus have an interesting story. They're cousins. They were born just months apart from one another. They probably were born and raised, grew up together. John actually baptized Jesus at the Jordan River. They had parallel ministries. John had his disciples. Jesus had his disciples. John had his prophetic message. Jesus had his prophetic message. They kind of met probably back and forth in several different towns and cities along the way. But John ran into some prophetic hard waters when he told Herod that it was spiritually illegal for him to marry his brother's wife, Herodias. Well, Herod didn't like this, so he took John and threw him in prison. But he was afraid to do anything to John because he was so popular with the people. Well, Herodias' daughter, one night at a party, danced for Herod. And Herod was so taken by her, he said that he would do anything for her. Well, Herodias told her daughter to ask for John's head on a platter. So she did that. Well, Herod, good to his word, had John beheaded in prison and then brought the head on a platter to Herodias in the middle of this big party that they were at. Well, it was tragic. Herod's or John's disciples took the body and buried it, and then they went and they told Jesus, who meant that Jesus was nearby, who told Jesus about John's death. Well, Jesus is heart-stricken. It's his cousin. It's his partner. It's his colleague. It's somebody he has worked with, someone they had talked about the kingdom of God with. He came to a violent end. And I think in some way for Jesus, it foreshadowed that he would even come to a violent end. So he takes a boat. He rows out to a lonely place just to privately be by himself. Haven't you ever felt that way? You know, last week, Jill said, have you ever wanted to go and just hide? Well, yeah, Jesus just wanted to hide. Has the pandemic made you want to hide? Have you had grief from the pandemic? I mean, the pandemic kind of forced all of us to go into hiding. I'll never forget when that message came through on the phone. Remember that? That warning that came through on the phone that said that we had to stay at home, immediate orders to stay at home unless you had to absolutely go to work. There's only a few types of works that allow people, you know, to actually go to their jobs. The rest of us had to stay home to shelter in place. Remember that? Sheltering in place. It's kind of a frightening thing. And then the economy collapsed. People lost jobs and businesses. I mean, people started losing their lives. Remember that? You know, hundreds of thousands of people, Americans, lost their lives. I believe when this is all over, we should have a national day of mourning to always remember those hundreds of thousands of people who lost their lives. And then the countless millions of people around the globe who have lost their lives, and the countless millions more who have come down with the virus. It has been a global pandemic. We have lost a lot of people. We have lost a lot of friends. We have to be still with that. We have to row out to a lonely place and to be with Jesus and just be still with our grief. But I think we've lost other things. You know, I think the pandemic has made the rift in our country even worse. I mean, the fact that there is a rift is no news. We've been torn apart for years. But I think now, you know, it's come to a different place. We have those who believed in the virus and believed in science and people who didn't. My daughter who works in a hospital tells me that that there was someone who was actually dying of the COVID virus but denied that it was the COVID virus that was killing her. I thought, go figure on that one. People just don't want to believe in science. They don't want to believe there is a virus. And now the vaccine. There are those who want to be vaccinated. There are those of us who want to wear masks and social distance. And those that don't, people don't want to get vaccinated. I still don't understand that. I've talked with so many different doctors that I've asked them, is there any good medical reason not to get vaccinated? And they keep on telling me, absolutely not. Everybody should get vaccinated. And yet, people still refuse. Why is that? I have no idea. I've heard all the reasons. I've heard the rationales. I just don't get it. And now these people are filling the hospitals. They're sick and they're dying. Please get vaccinated. Please wear a mask. Please social distance. And I think we've lost a certain naivete that says something like this can ever happen to our country. I mean, pandemics always happen, you know, other places. They happen in places like Africa. They happen in places like in the Far East. They happen in places like Central America. But you know what? They never really happened to us in America. Don't you remember thinking when the pandemic broke out in China, it's like, could this thing really come to us? Kind of an American elitist attitude, if you ask me. And we all found out that yes, it can, it did, and it shook us to our core. We've lost that naivete. People lost jobs. They lost their health. They lost their well-being. They went on unemployment for the first time. They had to go to food banks and clothing banks. They had to ask for financial aid. If the government didn't come and support them with unemployment, they would have been devastated. We lost a lot. We have to get in the boat and row with Jesus out into that middle of the lake and just sit with our grief. And then there's the church and the renovation. You know, At first, we thought it was a great thing that we were renovating in the middle of the pandemic because we wouldn't be able to be in the building anyways. You know, I'm losing my son. Let me see if I can scoot over here just a little bit. Okay, I'm back. Dag had to do some editing for me. I'm losing light out here sitting on my front deck, and I wanted to move it here a little bit so I could capture the light, and my whole thing fell apart. So I'm back. Let's see, where was I? Oh yeah, rowing to a boat with Jesus in the middle of the lake, and then our renovation. You know, our renovation, at first we thought it'd be a great thing that we'd be able to renovate in the middle of the pandemic. We couldn't go to church anyways, why not renovate? But you know, I'll never forget, somebody asked me in the very beginning, they said, you know, do you think that we will make it through the pandemic? The church will make it through this renovation? And I said, yeah. I said, you know, 6 months is a long time. 6 months. It's been a year and a half. Look at everything that we have lost. You know, our finances keep on going down. I've been trying to put a rosy spin on it, try to keep us encouraged and inspired, but every month our income slowly goes down. You know, we've lost members. People have started going to other churches. Everybody thinks, well, surely they'll come back when the building is done. I don't know. People have gotten involved in new communities. They've gotten tied into other churches. We'll just have to wait and see. You know, people have had died, and they haven't had funerals, they haven't had weddings, they haven't had confirmations. There's so many different things that we haven't been able to have because we haven't had our building. We've lost so much. We thought we were going to come back in July, then August, September, now hopefully October. I keep on thinking, October, please let it be October. We've lost a lot. Makes Jill and I want to row out to a lonely boat, take a boat, row out to a lonely place in a lake, and just kind of sit and take a heavy sigh, maybe a tear or two for everything we've lost. You know, and I think you're probably thinking, you know, why did I even watch this video? I mean, look at all the bad news of everything that's going on. But you know what? I think it's okay to say there's bad news, there's sad, because it's real. Grief is real. Pain is real. You can't hurry it. You can't hurry somebody else through grief. Everybody has to go through it on their own pace. And the last thing you need is having someone telling you, get over it. It's time to get over it. Grief doesn't work that way. You have to take some time to go out into the middle of the lake by yourself and be sad and grieve. And if this is you, then you're okay. And you need to do this. But there's something else. I want to go back to the story of Jesus in the middle of that lake. What's interesting is what happened next in the story. See, what happens next in the story is that while Jesus is out in the middle of the lake, people from the towns and villages hear that he's out there, and they come to the shore and they're waiting for him. Jesus comes back. He sees the crowd and he has compassion on them and he heals all their sick. Then he feeds them. 15,000 people he feeds with a few loaves of fish, a few loaves of bread, and a few fish. He then, that evening, tells the disciples to go out across the lake, and there's a huge storm that builds up. He walks across the water in the middle of the storm. He has Peter come out to him, and Peter walks on water. He calms the storm. He does his best work after his grief. See, I think that's something we need to pay attention to. I want you to know, first of all, that if you're out there in the middle of the lake by yourself, there's a bunch of us on shore that are waiting for you. We want to be with you. As those groups of people wanted to be with Jesus, we want to be with you. And I also believe that for all of us, the best is yet to come. I believe that after the pandemic, the best is yet to come. You know, the pandemic has showed us all the weaknesses in our medical community, in our health organizations. We're going to become stronger out of this. We're going to develop new ways to take care of each other medically and globally. The World Health Organization, the CDC, we're going to become better and more globally connected medically as part of a medical community. We're going to learn how to work better with one another medically. I think there could be new vaccines. There's going to be so much new science that's going to be developed out of this. We're going to be better. The best is yet to come. And when I think about Columbine United Church, I think about the best is yet to come. I mean, look at, we have some real hurdles that we're going to need to get over. Let's be honest. We have a huge mortgage now. We'll have to all step up to the plate to get that done. But you know what? We will be able to do it. Think of everything we've got going on. There's amazing worship services that we've got planned. You know, Joe's planning a big Alleluia chorus for December. We have Christmas Eve, we have Epiphany, we have Advent, got those two seasons reversed. We have Advent, Epiphany, Lent, Easter. Easter is going to be a big celebration. We'll flower the cross in our own building. We have wonderful celebrations. We even have a comeback of Cowboy Sunday next May. Hold on to your hats for that one. Joe's already wanting to plan Cowboy Sunday. Get that one figured out. We have our mission agencies that we support. Love, Inc., Second Wind Fund, Bessie's Hope, Denver Inner City Parish, El Poor Veneer, the list goes on and on. These agencies have been very active this past 2 years. People have gotten fed, clothed, sheltered. Your mission work, your mission dollars have been well spent and people have been taken care of. And it will be continued in this coming year. We're going to do our best work. We have our best work with our children and youth. We have our best work with adult education. We have our best work with social groups and fellowship groups. Our best work is yet to come. Our care and nurture activities, taking care of people who are sick and ill, our best work is yet to come. You sit with your grief and then realize your best life is yet to come. I was talking with someone this past week who lost a loved one this past year, and they talked about how slowly they're putting their life back together, but it's happening bit by bit, day by day, your life comes back together, and your best is yet to come. So if you're out there in the middle of the lake, if you need to be out there, then you know what? We'll row out there to be with you. And then when you're ready, we're back on the shore waiting for you. And we'll walk together. And yes, your best is yet to come. Amen.